Next on The Balanced Word.
God wants your life to be incredibly vibrant all the time because his promises won't run out until you die. He doesn't intend for you to hit a plateau and just stay there and try to preserve everything. So what happens is we end up going in circles in the wilderness because we're afraid to do what he really wants us to do.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word with Dave Rolf. Has fear kept you from experiencing what God has for you? Perhaps he's asked you to move to a foreign land, but the mere thought of that strikes fear into your heart, so you don't do it. Or maybe he wants you to share Christ with a coworker, but again, fear keeps you from saying what needs to be said. Today we'll see how fear kept the Israelites from experiencing the promised land and they ended up wandering in the desert instead. Pastor Dave will relate this to our lives and encourage us to be risk takers. Here he is now in Numbers 13 and 14 in part 2 of Spying the Land.
Joshua and Caleb are the only two guys who are actually going to fulfill the promises that they've experienced. They will be the two oldest guys walking into the land. They could be going in at the age of 40, but they're going to have to wait until they're about 80 before they get to go in. And imagine two 80-year-old guys leading a bunch of people who are at least 20 years younger than you or more. But that's what's going to happen because the kids will understand the vision that the adults will not understand. And so the rest of the book of Numbers, they're wandering around in the desert, going in circles, turning a journey that could have taken them to the promised land in a matter of days. Had it not been for all the time they spent at Sinai, about a year there, now it's going to take another 38 years before they ever fulfill that which God had promised them. And why is that? First of all, you need to realize, how much of our time do we spend wandering in the wilderness? How much of our time do we spend not really going for it, not really experiencing the fullness of life, but just kind of spinning our wheels and just trying to survive? We can relate to this. The reason why they had to do that, the same reason why we have to, and look at verse 9 of chapter 14, where Joshua and Caleb are saying, do not rebel against the Lord, Yahweh, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord, Yahweh, is with us. Do not fear them. So it's pretty simple. They didn't get to go in the land because they were rebellious. Rebellion is when you say, I am not going to do what God wants me to do. I refuse. But they were also at the root of rebellion always is fear. You're always afraid, and fear refers to a sense of anticipation that I think if I do this, I think if I go this way, if I think I make this decision, there's going to be a lot of pain and discomfort that might come from me. So I am choosing to make choices based on what makes me least afraid. And so that's kind of where they were, and it kept them out of the land. And for us, the same thing is true. Same thing is true. We rebel against God. We don't do what we know he wants us to do. And it all comes down to what we're afraid of, what we think is going to happen if we do what God wants us to do. Now, a lot of times what that looks like is, I don't really know what God wants me to do. And I've told you before, I think most people who say they don't know what God wants them to do are lying. I think they know what God wants them to do. I think they just don't want to do it because they're afraid of what's going to happen. So they keep asking, hoping that God tells them to do something other than what he's told them. But there are some people who don't have a complete sense of, okay, God, what do you want for the rest of my life? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to? But for most of us, it's fear that obscures all of that, obscures the voice of God. That's why they're questioning whether Moses is really hearing from God, because they didn't like what he was telling them to do. And they're thinking, no, I don't think God would say that. So for every one of us, there is this tension, the same tension that they had. Do I do what God really wants me to do? Or do I hold back? Do I walk in circles because I'm afraid? The Bible has a whole lot to say about fear. You know, Jesus was constantly having to tell the disciples, don't fear, fear not. Throughout the scriptures, God is going, you just need to fear me. Don't fear anything else. Solomon said in Proverbs 29, the fear of man is a snare. It will trip you up every time. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And John said in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing out of fear that's causing us to be held back from where we could be? And so let's just get really personal. In your life, in who you are, and in who I am, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from living a life that is vital, that is fresh? What's keeping you from the life that's full and enriching? What are you afraid of? And again, if you're thinking, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I would do anything that he tells me to do. Really? Are you sure he hasn't told you? But if you seriously want to know what God wants you to do, let me give you a tip, a good way to do it. Ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What is it that scares me to death? And it may or may not be something that God wants, but when you start thinking about what you're afraid of, you may then discover what it is that God has actually been, you know, the vision that he's been casting for you. Because we crush those always with fear. And so if we start thinking about our fear a bit, we may end up discovering that idea that we had a long time ago that we just kind of pushed aside because we thought that's too scary. And we may be able to actually move into living a real life. A lot of people today, especially young people, love taking risks. It's a cultural phenomenon whereby things are exciting just because they're dangerous. If you watch the extreme sports, and now they've got into the Olympics, but you have the X Games, it's basically people doing crazy, scary things just to look in the face of fear and say, I'm going to do this anyway. Why do you think that is exciting for younger people? Because I think they have seen older people and what they do by being so careful, by being so afraid. I mean, and most of us were raised by fear, let's face it. You know, I really thought that shooting rubber bands or flying airplanes was going to put someone's eye out. I never saw a guy with one eye walking around and go, oh, what happened to you? Airplane, you know. When we did that, you know, I've told you before, this weird thing where we did nuclear bomb drills in elementary school when I was a kid, hiding under a particle board desk, covering our eyes, so in case we were nuked, we would be just fine. But it's that living by fear, and I think there's a younger generation that goes, I don't want to do everything because of fear. Our society is so afraid. In New York City, you can't even buy a large Coke anymore, and I don't even drink Coke. But come on, is that really the message that we want to send? You know, the global warming's going to kill us, especially when global warming makes it so cold. And, you know, everything that we're doing, and Christians are no better. It's constantly making people afraid. Oh, be careful, you do that. And there are young people who are just going, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to take some crazy risks. Now, what happens to them is interesting. Because, for instance, Sean White, who is an amazing athlete. And from when he was a little kid, he did things on a snowboard or a skateboard that were just crazy. He was our big hope for these recent Olympics in Russia. And he was going to do two events. One of them is called slopestyle. It's a brand new Olympic event. They've had it in the X Games for a long time. You do crazy stuff. You're going down on a snowboard and you're going off these jumps and flipping around and landing. And it's just like adrenaline like crazy. And everybody was excited to see him do it. But in the end, he decided not to do slopestyle. And there was a special on Shaun White, and it was interesting because they were showing him training with some of the tricks that he knew he would have to do to win a gold medal. And I've seen Shaun White interviewed a bunch of times, but I saw for the first time fear in his eyes. I could see something has happened. He's older. He's not old enough to be at our senior fellowship, but but he's in his 20s. And I never have seen Shaun White afraid, but I was saying to Ann, he's afraid. This is going to be a problem. So then at the last minute, he chickens out of the slopestyle because he says, I really want to have a three-peat and win the gold medal in this event that he had won in the halfpipe that he had won two previous Olympics. So he's afraid that doing slopestyle would keep him from getting his third gold medal in the halfpipe. Afraid? Shaun White? Yeah. So then what happens in the halfpipe? He comes in fourth. Now, if I was the fourth best at anything in the world, I'd be pretty excited. But he's like crushed. Fourth. And America was sort of disappointed. It's like, oh man, what happens if Shaun White's old at 23 or 24, whatever he is? How does that make me feel? What happened is he has a lot to lose. When he was younger, no fear, nothing to lose. What happens when we get older? We begin to start to try to protect what we have, and we start to live our lives more safely because we have something to lose. But it's why people who, if you talk to couples who have been married a long time, almost always they will say the most exciting and the best time of their lives was when they were young and broke and had nothing to lose and they were full of big dreams and they could try stuff because what did you have to lose? And inevitably, once we get a little older and we're hoarders, we have a bunch of stuff. And now we think we have to protect our stuff. And how pathetic is that to live a life around a bunch of stuff that doesn't even, it's not even worth anything. But it is to us because we worked hard for it. And I'm afraid if I take a chance, I may lose it all. A lot of people get in this situation with a business. They have a good job and it's doing well. But all of a sudden, the only way they're ever going to move is if they get fired. But at any rate, they feel like, oh, this is empty. Now you have this courageous question. Do I make a move? Do I start my own business, for instance? Or do I go for it and change careers? Or, you know, what will I do? And the determining factor of that is always going to be, I'm afraid of what will happen if I do that. What that does is it causes our lives to continue to deteriorate. Even if we have more stuff, we feel less alive all the time. Jesus said, I came that you would have life and that more abundantly. But we find that life when we take risks. When we go, yeah, this is scary, but let's go for it. That's Caleb. That's Joshua. The other spies, they're more like we are a lot of times. I don't know. This is too scary. Here's the problem. God wants your life to be incredibly vibrant all the time because his promises won't run out until you die. He doesn't intend for you to hit a plateau and just stay there and try to preserve everything. So what happens is we end up going in circles in the wilderness because we're afraid to do what he really wants us to do. And that's a tragic way to live. And the children of Israel are a great example to us in this way. But it's something we need to look at if we don't want to just rest on our laurels or if we don't even want to go back to something that was horrible. You ever have that feeling? I've had it at times. I've thought, man, if I had just stayed in the first house we ever had, my life could be so much easier, be paid off by now and everything. But is that really what you want to do? Is that really where you want to be? What God is taking you on an adventure, and he's brought you this far, and he has great plans for your future. He isn't done yet if you're still alive. So we have to ask ourselves the question, am I willing to risk? Am I willing to face my fear in order to move forward into the promised land that God has for me and what he wants me to do? Our fear becomes our mortal enemy. Risk-taking becomes the place where God always fulfills his promises. It's always going to be scary. But the question is, am I going to do what God wants me to do? Understand this. It's not just a foolish waste to live our lives in the wilderness. It's not just kind of a tragic loss that we never really accomplish everything he wanted us to accomplish. Flat out, it is rebellion against God. It is saying, God, I am going to follow fear instead of you. And that's a very serious thing. Now, there might be some of you here who would go, yeah, I'm glad you're telling those Christians that, but I'm really not a Christian. I don't even know if there's a God. I'm kind of above this and seems like superstition to me, so this doesn't really relate to me. Well, it does relate to you, and it has nothing to do with whether you believe in God or not. The truth is, there is a God who made you. He designed you, and he has plans for you. And if you are not fulfilling those plans, you are in rebellion against God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He loved you that much. He offers to forgive your sins, and he gives you the opportunity to start life over. What he has for you is so much better than anything you could ever imagine for yourself. All this world can offer are mirages, and when you get there, there's nothing to them. And if you've been alive very long, you've already discovered that. But you need to understand, you are rebelling against God. And if the Bible is true, on the chance that it is, it says that at the end of your life, where you spend eternity, either in eternal joy and bliss in heaven or in eternal misery in hell, is determined by whether or not you will choose to submit yourself to him and to buy into his plan. Now, that may seem really unfair to you. But is it unfair to leave people in the desert because they would rather be in the desert than go into the promised land? The choice is ours always. But what I want to say to those of you who haven't received Jesus yet, or you're not walking with him, maybe you know you're in rebellion, maybe you're fooling yourself into thinking you aren't. But here's the thing, what are you afraid of? People who reject the offer of salvation reject it because they're afraid of something. Maybe what you're afraid of is, I don't know, man. I look around at Christians and they're so weird. I'm afraid that either I'll be the only normal one around or that I'll end up turning weird too. Now, I'll give you this. Yeah, Christians are pretty weird generally. I mean, overall. But here's why. When we realize how weird we are, we know the only chance for us is to take a crazy risk on a promise that God made. So we're actually here because we know that in this world we don't fit in. But there's a place where we're invited to fit in. And I feel perfectly comfortable around weird Christians. And you get to know them and it's not going to trip you out the way it is right now. But maybe you're thinking, oh, if I give my life to God, I'm going to have to stop doing all the stuff that I enjoy doing. I'm going to, does that mean I can't go out and party all the time? Does that mean I can't? Well, you're afraid of that. Is it worth really that much to you if it destroys your life? If so, if you're in love with the desert that much, okay. But understand this, you're afraid. You're afraid of letting go of the stuff in your life that you know doesn't work. And that's why you're rebelling against God. You may have a bunch of fears, but if those fears are keeping you from entering into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, You're ripping yourself off. So for all of us, it's a good time to spy out the land. Spying out the land for us looks like this. We begin to think about the possibilities. We start to imagine what God might want to do. We start to revive some of those old ideas that we had that we've long since pushed aside, that pain and failure have just caused us to eliminate them. And we start to check it out again. And we think, what could my life be? What is it that God might want to do? And even if it looks scary and even if it looks superimposing or weird to face those things and to face fear and to decide that you're going to keep moving, that's the only way to live life. And you will find, you'll discover that it's always worth saying no to fear in order to say yes to God and saying, okay, I'll go for it. Now, you could later on in chapter 14, some of the people decided, okay, maybe we will go in. And God goes, no, don't. But they went in anyway. So there are times when you go in somewhere and you just get chased back out. It's not the worst thing in the world. The real question is, have you limited what God can do in your life because you're afraid? And if you have, it's time to change that. It's time to make an adjustment for every one of us. If you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's time to do it. It's time to face your fear and say, what do I have to lose compared to what do I have to gain? Don't be afraid. Take that chance. Receive him. You can do it just in your own heart by giving him permission, allowing him to come into your life. But I'm also concerned for so many of us who said yes to Jesus a long time ago, but we've just been in the desert because we're afraid to go somewhere else. And I want to encourage you, spy out the land a little bit. Go back to considering the possibilities. Think about what you're afraid of most and ask yourself if that isn't identifying a compromise that you're making in your own life that's holding you back, that's keeping you in the desert.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing things up in a word of prayer now, Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, we thank you that you're patient with us, that even when the parents threw their lives away in the wilderness, you got a hold of the kids and you used them to fulfill your promises. If us old people don't do it, cause our kids with a great passion and desire to move forward with you, even though you're scary. But for all of us, it's never too late for us to decide to spy out the land and go for it. Get busy with living an abundant life. We want our lives to matter. So challenge and encourage us to being stretched beyond our fears. And for the people who don't know you, help them to realize this is their chance right now. They can step out and enter the land and achieve the fulfillment and promises that you've always had for them. They can have the best life than they could ever imagine. I pray that they would receive you and allow that to happen. By your Holy Spirit, please draw them to yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, Moses makes a very bad decision, and there's something we can learn from it. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.